Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast show, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news. It's US week, so again, you have to deal with myself, Ben Williams, and Mr. I Can't Hear You over this screaming engine, or Saturday. How are you doing, Louie?
What?
I said, how are you doing, Louie?
Yes, the weather's fine over here. I don't know what that's got to do with the show right now.
Dear goodness. as soon as I brought up that joke, I should have expected an answer like that.
Yes.
Anyway.
I was going to say, I can only imagine how many listeners right now are just rolling their eyes right now.
All of them. The answer is all of them.
Yeah, because I'm cringing right now for that.
Yes. How are you doing this week, Louie?
I'm doing quite good. Quite refreshed, actually.
That's so always spent... good.
Yeah, well, over the weekend, I was up at Volusia County Raceway Park watching World of Outlaws all week, so it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good time. I enjoyed it anyway.
I did absolutely nothing responsible this weekend.
No, well, neither did I, if that makes you feel better.
No, you really didn't, did you?
No, I didn't. If you're going to put it that way.
Be safe out there, listeners. Anyway. So we actually do have a pretty substantial amount of sim racing news to talk about. So first of all, starting with the news that racing fans, esport racing fans around the world did not want to hear, EA has been approved to buy Codemasters. Pause for groan.
I don't know if anybody heard my sigh there, but that was a huge sigh.
The Formula One video game developer Codemasters is set to go ahead with the planned $1.2 billion, with an alien, takeover of Electronic Arts after shareholders voted in favor of the deal last week. Unfortunately,
there's what all your microtransactions went to.
Yep. So for all of those who bought the special Vader skin in the first edition of Battlefront, this is your fault. I realize like half of our audience is going to get that reference. Anyway. So obviously 2K, as we reported on the show previously, 2K Sports was set to also take over back in December, but then EA came in and slammed the B word on the desk, and that kind of swayed the decision. The shareholders voted in a 63-13 favor.
63-what favor?
63-13.
That doesn't even add up to 100.
That's not a percentage. That's a literal head count, I believe.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if that's a percentage, that doesn't even add up to 100. How does that work out?
If you're going to go with percentage, though, apparently, according to Autosport, that's over 98% of the shares made up in that 63.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to do math right now. Really.
Yeah. Basically, it paves the way for the deal to go through with approval already being received from Germany and Austria relating to competition law, because, you know, that stuff's always fun.
Yeah.
So the deal's said to be completed by the end of March, or Q1 for those of the fiscal-minded. It's yet to be seen, though, how much this is going to affect the F1 series and potentially the Grid series as well. We make jokes about microtransactions, but I think ultimately what we're all, as a sim racing community, hoping for is that this will be just kind of seamless. It's not going to really do anything to the experience that we currently have and enjoy with the F1 games. Notice I didn't say Grid.
Well, here's the other question I got with it. Where does that leave Slightly Mad Studios as well? Because if I'm not mistaken, they were just bought out by Codemasters.
They were last year. I believe the deal is that they're buying all of Codemasters, so that includes Slightly Mad Studios. So yeah, we need to think about Project Cars 3 as well.
Yeah, and we also see what happened with Project Cars 3 after Codemasters' takeover. Granted, that was probably well in the works before Codemasters even got their hands on it, but can only hope for better, but sadly, if it keeps going the way it's trended, it's only gonna just tank. I hate to be the cynical one on this one, but
yeah,
it's just where I feel, and based off of personal experience, the Codemasters has already lost a customer in me because I've not had a very good experience with EA.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's remind the listeners that EA is typically associated with the Need for Speed series, which the last Motorsport inspired or focused, I guess you can say, was the Shift series back in the early 2000s, wasn't it? 2007, 2008, somewhere around in there?
No, it was early 2010s, actually.
Because
shortly after I joined Tora.
I was going to say, didn't Tora start on Shift 2?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Shift 2 came out well after I had joined Tora, and they had been on there since Forza Motorsport 2.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge. Matt will probably correct us, and is probably ready to punch me in the head for not already knowing this.
I'm sure there's a
Tora. That was over 10 years ago.
But yeah, actually, it's not been 10 years ago. It was Shift 2 was released March 29th, 2011. So not quite 10 years ago. Very close, but not quite.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. And that one was developed by Slightly Mad Studios. See, it all comes around.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was Slightly Mad as well.
Yep, it all comes around.
So I wonder if that actually had something to do with the sale, if Slightly Mad kind of said, go in that direction. Based off of their previous work experience with EA.
I'm not sure.
It just makes me wonder.
Andrew Wilson, which is hilarious because we also know someone who's named Andrew Wilson in the sim racing community, not Tora, is quoted as saying, we believe there is a deeply compelling opportunity in bringing together Codemasters and Electronic Arts to create amazing, innovative new racing games for fans. Our industry is growing, the racing category is growing, and together we'll be positioned to lead into a new era of racing entertainment.
I do give Electronic Arts credit, though, because they still have, in my eyes, probably one of the best racing games ever made, and it came out all the way on the PlayStation 1, and that's Sports Car GT.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't EA... Yes, EA did some of the original NASCAR games.
They did, and actually... This was actually whenever I was still in good graces with, or let me rephrase it, EA was still in good graces with me. The early 2000s NASCAR games, the NASCAR Thunder Series, those were absolutely brilliant. And to be honest with you, there has not been another NASCAR game that has gotten to the same par level as they have whenever it was still the Thunder Series. Mm-hmm. Whenever they switched over to just regular NASCAR, whatever year, they also changed how the whole game format was played.
Yeah.
And it just made it basically incredibly easy. It wasn't as simple as wasn't a thing to where, like, okay, you gotta race your way to get this much money, then you spend that money to go develop your team, and that's gonna cost you on this, because you had to repair your cars, build your cars, hopefully you had one repaired enough that wasn't gonna get destroyed over the weekend, blah, blah, blah. It was very, very thorough and in-depth.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has come that close since.
Yeah.
And it took time. You know, it was like, literally, if, you know, you go in there when you first go in there or started up your race team, it takes 6 weeks to repair this car. You had to wait six races until that car was ready to go again.
Yeah. I actually went and looked this up. NASCAR, the license was exclusively with EA from 2004 to 2009. Which...
That was the exclusive license. That's whenever they started doing the Chase thing.
Yeah.
If it was 2004 to 2009, that's when they started the Chase. Because I remember having... Actually, I still think I got the copy right next door to me here in this drawer. over here that is being held closed for some reason.
Doing
in this case, you know, I'm going to look. Yeah. Anyway, carry on while I find it.
Well, while Ghost looks for that. So for those who are playing along at home, that means that NASCAR Racing 2003, probably known as the Genesis of iRacing, was before EA took over the
line. Oh, look at that. F1 2000 by EA Sports.
Yep.
On PlayStation 1.
Do you just have a stack of old games near your desk at all times?
So funny enough, I have my old PlayStation 1 and PS2 crammed inside of the second drawer on the left in my desk. And all my old games. Look, Gran Turismo 1. That's a good one. It's the EA Sports NASCAR 98. There's that one back on the PlayStation 1. A couple old receipts. Where's that one from? Oh, good question.
So while Lewis takes a trip down memory lanes, he tries to find...
Oh, here we go. Oh, regarding F1. F1 Career Challenge by EA Sports. That holds the 2000... What is it? I think it's 1999 to 2002 seasons? I believe so. It's been a while since I fired that one. Yeah, there it is. 99 to 2002. There we go. Still digging. Carry on.
Yeah. So, something to kind of circle around to something that Matt and Jordan talked about last week with Motorsport Games and their exclusive license with the FIA and the ACO for Le Mans for the next 10 years or something like that.
And then we come across Codemasters' greatest racing game ever, Toka Race Driver 2.
There it is.
All right, we're done. Yeah, I'm done, sir.
Apparently, Codemasters uses Motorsport Games as its EA, or as its, excuse me, as its esports activities around the Dirt Rally franchise, so I guess they have skin in this game as well.
Well, actually, that's one thing I'm actually genuinely curious about is how the Dirt series is going to work out.
Yeah, that's another one that we didn't talk
about. So that's F1 games I'm not going to be able to get again. That's Dirt games I'm not going to be able to get again.
Yep.
Looks like I'm never getting Project Cars ever again, even if it is a better version of it, so.
I don't. Yeah. Anyway. We'll talk about Project Cars a little bit later, because there is actually some Project Cars news. Actually, you know what? Let's rearrange the show. Let's just talk about it now.
Yeah, let's do that.
Since you provided such a natural transition, Project Cars 3, we haven't talked about it much on the show just because it hasn't had that much to talk about. Hashtag intentional burn. It was kind of announced by the Project Cars Twitter earlier this week that Project Cars 3 is likely not going to get a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X release. They responded to someone asking about it, saying that Project Cars 3 will run as backwards compatible title on the PS5 and the new Xbox consoles, and will continue to support the game with additional updates and content. So, I can understand why they aren't doing that, because, you know, Horizon is doing this whole thing when the Series X came out, where where, you know, you can play Forza Horizon 4 in 4K and in 60 FPS now if you have an Xbox Series X, which, as I've been told, is pretty amazing. But it doesn't seem like Project Cars 3 has gained the... What's the word I want to use here? The community support to warrant a massive rework of the game. Just because, I'm sure you remember this, a couple of months ago, we were looking at the usage numbers between the Project Cars titles. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. Yeah.
From what I remember, essentially, Project Cars 2 had like twice the number of Project Cars 3 players on Steam at that time.
I believe you could be right.
Yeah. Now, and I'm pretty sure we talked about the show, and I said this then, that's only looking at the PC audience and not really looking at the console audience, but...
Right.
When it comes to your, you know, your console exclusives, Forza Motorsports and Gran Turismo Sport. Let's just be honest. Those games, despite their age and despite Forza's not being updated in almost over a year now, you're still looking at better games for your money than what you would get buying Project Cars 3. Let's be honest.
And we all know how I feel about Forza as of late.
Yes.
And even that, I would say, is substantially better.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
Here's the surprise factor. They have a pit lane that works.
Yes. Even if it has interesting glitches every now and then.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to forgive Forza Motors... forgive Turn 10 a little bit more just because Polyphony is doing the same thing with Gran Turismo 7. More or less, where it's like, it's going to be released in 2020. Just kidding, 2021. First half 2021. Just kidding, second half 2021. Where it's like this constant moving chessboard where you're not really sure where it's going to end up.
Polyphony has actually been notorious for that, because I remember as a kid, whenever Gran Turismo 4 came out, I remember the couple of years leading up to that, going online, seeing when it was going to come out, mark it on my calendar, that date comes out, it's not out yet, go online again, this is back in dial-up days, so a little old for you there, Ben, sorry, I just dated myself. So I'm going onto the internet again, looking when the next date's come out, it's been pushed back another some odd amount of time. You know, I remember doing that for at least 2 years straight before it got to the point where I didn't even bother looking up it anymore, and I saw it in the Walmart ad that came in the mail that it was available. So, yeah.
So,
I was back on 4. Or what, working on 7 now? Yeah.
Gran Turismo 7, yeah.
Yeah.
And we know about Forza Motorsport. Not Motorsports.
Yes, Motorsports.
It's going to be like a I lost the word.
You're having a hard time today, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I think I need a cup of coffee just to get to the show.
Java.
Coffee. Anyway, so when it comes to console games, it's kind of a famine right now, but it's like, would you rather not have information or get information that changes every 2 weeks? Your pick.
And you can't have both.
Yeah. So, in short, Project Cars 3 is not coming to next gen. Nothing of value was lost. Anyway, moving on. So, obviously we have to talk about Assetto Corsa Competizione. And, surprise, British GT pack.
Surprise! We haven't had a chance to touch it yet.
No, we haven't.
I mean, literally yesterday I downloaded it, and then I had a birthday party to get to. I got home from the birthday party. I couldn't really, because I knew I was going to lose time, so I just instantly decided to avoid it, because I have work in the next day, so we can come on time online here and do the show on time. So I've literally not had a chance to touch it. I haven't even looked at it.
I've looked at it, and it's very pretty. But I had some...
I'm basing off of screenshots that I've seen, and the tracks look spectacular.
Yes. I've had some tour of responsibilities I had to take care of last night, so I didn't get a chance to actually get on the track to check it out. Though I will point out that there's a particularly interesting logo on a particular Century BMW M4 GT4 right on the C-pillar. Might be something interesting to go look at. Just saying. I gotta up my own brand here. Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead, fine.
Yes. The British GT pack came out yesterday. Here's what included. So we've got Alton Park, we got Centerton, and we got Donington. Pretty much the three circuits that you needed to be able to run a full British GT calendar on ACC that we were previously missing. Also included over 40 new liveries and 70 drivers, as you expect whenever they do one of these championship updates, and you get a dedicated championship season in-game, much like you did with the GT4 and the IGTC and the GT... Yeah, you get the point. It's the typical ACC release that we've come to expect. The interesting thing, though, is that this DLC pack is based around the 2019 version of the British GT Championship.
Yeah, because this was in the plans for... Actually, this was supposed to come out last year, wasn't it? Last calendar year, originally.
It was slated for fall 2020, originally.
Right.
But, you know, that was before the world turned upside down.
Yeah. I think that's why it came out now. So that makes sense that it would be the 2019 season.
Yeah.
Although I find it funny that we got the 2020 cars instead of the 2019 season British GT. Actually, that's what it was, because originally we were supposed to get the British GT, and then we ended up getting a 2020 season instead. I remember that. So I wonder if there was just glitches that were along the way, and pretty much they already had the cars inside of there for an update, and they decided to just create a new tab.
The only real difference between the 2019 cars and the 2020 cars was the inclusion of the Intelligence Money sponsorship that they started last year. Everything else is basically the same.
Here's the other question. Does it have something to do with... No, it wouldn't involve that anyway. Never mind. I was going to say if it had something to do with Blankpen sponsoring, but Blankpen didn't...
No.
...sponsor the British GT, so no, that wouldn't have had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Maybe the Rebellion stamp on there? Because I know that was on all cars.
Not mistaken. Not for British GT, it's not.
It was not, okay. No.
British GT has their own number boards, their own window banners. Pretty much their own sponsorships. Like, as far as SRO series goes, and I'm overly familiar with British GT just because of Toro running their esports championship for the past couple years, and that's been my primary involvement at Toro, along with the endurances, was that they pretty much have their own branding across the board. Like, they have if you're looking at the rest of the SRO, Pirelli stays the same, but you've got Driven and Sunoco on that you don't typically see on the other cars, from what I remember, like in the other SRO cars, from what I remember. Also, British GT is a completely other animal because it's a multi-class series, which is probably why it might have taken a little bit longer, just because of getting. That's
kind of what I'm thinking, because I had to basically rewrite a whole portion of how the game works.
Yeah, change how the championships worked completely. Because online's been doing it for a couple, like, since the GT4's come out, you've been able to do multi-class race online. So... Definitely very interesting. So, we're all very interested to get our hands on it. Unfortunately, as Louie and I said, we haven't been able to get our actual hands into it. So expect a full roundup for whenever Matt and Jordan talk about it next week. Expect full gushing.
Because they've already been gushing over us because they've had a hold of it while we're doing the show here.
Yes. I know Matt
stares blankly and angrily at the same time with a monotone.
Yes, I know Matt particularly is very excited about this.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Out of everyone who's ever worked at Toro, Matt was the one that's been the most contacted with British GT over the years. So
here's the next question that I'm sure some of our listeners are going to pose and that we're probably going to hear. Seeing how British GT is officially going to be on ACC, and Toro has a history of doing the British GT Championships.
Question mark? All I'm going to say is patience. And that's it for now. When we're ready to announce that type of information, we will let you know. We'll just go with that for now. Anyway, the British GT pack is now available on Steam if you want to pick it up. If I remember correctly, it's $12.99 American dollars, $11.99 Great British pounds, and again, $12.99 euros. Conversion in my head's weird. Anyway.
Don't ask me to do math again. Why are we going back? Why are you making me do math, man?
Moving on to kind of our last piece of sim racing news for this
show. Oh, this one's exciting. This one's exciting.
So obviously, it's no secret that we here at the Simcast are fans of Jimmy Broadband and his content. So whenever he announced earlier this, was that last week or was it this week?
It was last week.
It was last week, right before the show. That's right. That Jimmy and Prague announced that Jimmy will be joining Praga for a real-world 2020 Brit car drive. There was much rejoicing.
Yes.
Jimmy will join Praga's Brit car guest driver program that will see five factory cars competed at by high-profile experienced and novice racers in a 10-grid of the R1s, which is their purpose-built prototype for Brit car. I'm not really familiar with Praga.
No, it is not a purpose-built car. They have quite a few of them over here in the States, and actually a former tour member, who's the one that actually got me started in racing go-karts, he is a big North America Praga racer.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he's actually, I don't think he's full-fledged factory or considered factory Praga, but he does a lot of the development and helps with North American marketing of the Praga cars. So, and he races in NASA. I don't know if he does any SCCA. I know there's a lot of NASA stuff that he does.
Mm-hmm. NASA, for those who don't know, is one of the other grassroots organizations in America, not the space program. Just throwing that out there, just to be clear. Because I know that whenever we've mentioned NASA before in the tour community, people go, what do you mean? What's space exploration got to do with any of this? So, just throwing it out there. Okay, so is Praga more or less like Ginetta then?
Not so much, really.
I legitimately don't know that much about Praga. That's called him.
So the last two 24-hour go-kart races I have been on have been on a Praga kart.
Okay.
So they do go-karts, they do cars, they do a little bit of everything. And actually, the kart side is actually just a more or less a rebadged CRG. Which, anybody who knows karting knows what a CRG chassis is.
Okay. I will take your word for it.
Yeah. There's a lot of rebadged CRGs out there, I will say that.
Yeah. Basically, what Jimmy will be driving, they released some specs on it, is the all-new, all-carbon fiber, 365 horsepower, 634 kilograms, or about 1,400 pounds, Prague 2011 Praga R1. So, pretty good power-to-weight ratio there.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's
it's a quick little car. I've seen a couple of them in person, and they're tiny. They are very, very tiny, and they're very quick.
Yeah. Jimmy did a video earlier this week in VR on AC, on Assetto Corsa, the first one. Just kind of like giving like a rundown what it's going to kind of feel like, even though it's not the car he'll be driving, it's close enough, and they've updated some physics and whatnot. But you can tell the car's pretty quick in a straight line, and it's really small. Like, he lined up behind the GT3, the Nissan GTR, and it's like you have to crean your neck up to see the top of the car from inside the Praga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a.
Otherwise, you see nothing but exhaust pipe.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy's been talking about how surreal this has all been for him, which I can only imagine.
This is going to be the part that he doesn't get enough credit for, because I know how difficult it is or something like that. How he was able to keep it under wraps and not just blurt out that that's what he finally got.
Yeah.
That took a lot of effort, I'm sure, because whenever I found out I was going kart racing, it took me a long time to be able to announce that I was going to be doing it. But as soon as I found out I was going to be doing it, I wanted to tell the world.
Yeah.
So, and I'll say it this way, Jimmy's platform is much bigger than mine was. So,
Jimmy's platform is much bigger than most people's, let's be honest.
I was going to say, I have a saying out there, and please pardon me there, Ben. I have as much authority as the Pope. I just don't have as many people who believe it. Jimmy's pretty dang close.
Jimmy's pretty dang close to having the same number of followers as the Pope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty dang close.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still miles away, but he's pretty dang close.
Yeah. I think it was Daytona. There was like 1,200 people watching the official like stint, like top lobby split one version of the race. Meanwhile, in Jimmy Terrell, there's 30,000 people.
Yeah.
That's pretty telling argument right there.
Yeah.
Well, 30,000 people when he wasn't even driving at the time.
Kind of. I was going to say 30,000 people when he was playing RuneScape.
Yes. Yeah. So obviously, massive shout out to Jimmy. That's a huge opportunity, and we love here at the Simcast to see sim racers getting a chance to go out into the real world and show them that we aren't just a bunch of nerds playing make believe.
Ha! Nerd!
Nerds! Anyway.
By the way, Jimmy, we really want you on the show.
Yes, please come on the show. Hashtag get Jimmy on the Simcast.
Hashtag Jimmy on Simcast 2021.
Yes. Moving right along. We do have this week's massive amount of esports roundups. Starting with Formula E. The Formula E esports series was at Hong Kong. Ethron Jaworski wins for Venturi after just fending off Frederick Ramson. Kevin Sigge completed the podium. Jaworski now leads the title with 6 points, with Sigge scored on 31. The championship continues to round three at Berlin's Tempelhof circuit next Thursday. Not much to really say about that one. moving on. Virtual GP, British GP. GP. Red Bull's Marcel Kiefer gets the pole for the 5-lap sprint race, but Brendan Lee, who we talked about many times on the show, passes him on the penultimate lap and holds on for the win for Ferrari. With Kiefer in second and Danny Bersnay? I believe that's how you pronounce that. Third for Alfa Romeo. This would put Callum Loft on pole for Ferrari for the future race, and Alex Albon alongside him, and Talbot Cordis in third for Alpha, with Broadband, who we keep mentioning on the show, starting in P4.
For somebody who's never been on the show, he gets more airtime than anybody else.
Including us.
Including us.
Yes. Albon would end up sprinting away to an early lead at the start of the race, with Albon surprisingly being overtaken in spectacular fashion by the goalkeeper from Real Madrid, Courtois.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
sorry if we mispronounce names, and I'm sure we're going to get a bunch of hate mail for this.
Probably. Yep. Courtois would eventually fall back down with everyone's favorite Mercedes driver, Russell moving up to P3 and Albon in P. Or, sorry. Russell in P3 and Albon in P. No, I keep saying that wrong. Russell was in P2, Albon was in P3. I'll get it right eventually.
Now, Ben, spit it out.
Yes. At the end of the race, though, Albon was able to wreck his way back from the first.
Wreck his way?
Make his way.
I was going to say, I don't know what would be a... Oh, misspoke. There we go. I was going to say, what would be a verbal typo?
Yes, that would be a verbal typo. Albon was able to do that just via better strategy, using tire compounds to his advantage. Russell would then work his way past Ilott and was able to stick pretty much on Albon's gearbox until Albon picked it up. A 3-second time penalty for extending the track, so Russell did not actually pass him for the win. But then he did. With two laps.
He did.
Yeah. And then Albon managed to squeak past the final lap, but ultimately he would pass the cross the line first, but Russell would take the victory due to the penalty. So with the final three being Russell P1, Albon P2, and Lilat in P3 for Ferrari. Interesting enough that both the Fittipaldi brothers, Pietro and Enzo, would end up 4th and 5th for Haas. Unfortunately, Jimmy had a couple different technical glitches during the race, so he was much farther down the order.
There he is on the show again.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, man.
Yep. Virtual GP continues next week for its third and final round at the Brazilian GP. Coming up.
Three rounds, that's it?
Yeah, three rounds.
Huh.
Yep.
I figured there would have been like five at least.
I would have figured four. But anyway, moving on. Porsche Esports Super Cup at Silverstone.
Yes.
Mitchell DeLong takes the sprint race win from pole position ahead of Josh Rogers and Dwayne Warren.
That's Dane.
Dane, excuse me. Yes.
If I mispronounce your name, I am Ben. Send the emails that way. If I pronounce your name correctly, I'm Lewis.
Let's go with that. Yeah. Austin Gard would get pole for the future race. Job would, or Job. I'm going to go with Job. Or Job. Or Job. You can never know. Job made gains early in the race, getting from 5th up to 2nd by the end of lap 2. He tried to make a move around the outside for the lead, but the two made contact, and that would ultimately give the lead of the race to Rogers and Mac Balcom. Despite the incident, Job was would impressively repass both to take position with just 6 to go, and they pretty much remained nose to tail the rest of the race, but Job somehow holding off the last lap assault from Rogers to take the win over the three. The Porsche Esports Super Cup will be back in action for round 5 at Road Atlanta on February 20th. So that's not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday following. Oh, wait. Not Sunday. Saturday.
Is that Saturday? Yes, it is. You're right. Yeah.
I should know. My birthday's the 19th.
You should.
Yes. Anyway, some more Porsche Esports action for the All-Star Race at Silverstone. Drivers racing the Porsche GT4 this week instead of the Cup car saw Emily Jones on pole, but the sprint race would go to Pierre Oliver Dalit after Emily spun whilst battling for the lead with
Larry Ten Vord was in this. Wow.
Yep. The future race would ultimately, though, would go to Emily Jones with Jarde and...
I'm sorry, this is just a funny name.
I'm reading that record, right?
Yeah, I hate to laugh at an individual's name because they can't help it, but that's a fun name to say. Quick Gabby.
Quick Gabby.
Okay. It's a fun name. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Now for the most interesting of them all, the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series had their
most interesting is selective.
Yes. Had their season. The eNASCAR Coca-Cola NASCAR iRacing Series had their season opener this week.
Say that 5 times
at
twice.
Arizona. Yeah. With the new 23XI, which is the Michael Jordan and, oh, I can't remember who's the partner of that.
What, the Michael Jordan team?
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin.
Thank you. Okay.
The non-NASCAR guy knows this.
I couldn't remember which NASCAR driver it was, and I knew it wasn't Kyle Busch, and I knew it wasn't... Larson, so I'm not sure why those two names came in my head, but anyway, Moving on. Okay, so the
you got called out.
Yeah, I know. 23 Xsides, Mitchell DeJohn took pole position for the 2011 season opening race at Daytona and was led pretty on in the race, despite the race being 100 laps long. The field pretty much wasted no time to get into a three wide formation because NASCAR. But it actually stayed green pretty much for the duration of the race, with drivers such as Zalesniak, Conti, and Kerwin cycling to the lead throughout. Or Zielinski, excuse me. Zielinski, Conti, and Kerwin. There would be a wreck on lap 31, but somehow the race stayed green. Though the Xset Gaming teammates of Ryan
Lewis... That's hard to say whenever there's no space in their name.
Yeah. Xset Gaming... Yeah, of course, I say that right. Teammates of Ryan Luzo and Michael Ray would take to Twitter to argue with each other post-race as a result. Which is
that the equivalent of fight in the pit?
I think that's the 2020.
In sim sports or e-racing, that would have to be the fight in the pits afterward, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too dissimilar with a fight happening on Twitter after a race, because that happens pretty consistently at tours sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially for the endurance stuff, because people always get heated over the endurance stuff. Particularly when they feel like they were unfairly penalized, despite the fact they ran someone off the road. But whatever. Back to the Coca-Cola series. As the field came to start the last lap, Conti was leading the bottom line, with Clampett leading the middle and Ottinger leading the top. So basically, out of those three, pick one. One of them is going to win, just because those names are very familiar if you follow this series just lightly. Of course, it being the last lap, the wreck finally came in turns 2 and 3, with Clampett being sent careering off the track after the slightest contact between himself and the number 9 car, which took out most of the field.
With
leaving Conti, who I believe is the current reigning champion. Pretty sure it is.
I couldn't tell you. Sorry to say.
Hold on.
So by the sound of it, this was very much so like a real life race at Daytona.
You're pretty much.
But the big one happens.
And
it's not a tour version where the big one happens every 20 seconds.
Yeah. He has come close. He's not... Whoop.
So he has not won a title yet.
Not yet. And I'm not sure if that ringing is coming over.
Anyway, what was that?
My phone just rang. Professional that I am. There for a bit. Yeah. Anyway, Conti being able to leave unchallenged for the final stretch. So he would take victory for the number 8 GR Motorsports car with Michael Guest, Jake Matheson, Corey Vincent, and Isaac Gann completing the top 5. Yeah. The E-Coca-Cola iRacing series returns for round 2 from the Homestead Miami Speedway. I'm still not used to that not being the final track. Coming up in 2 weeks' time on February 23rd. So I'm sure we'll be talking about it during our next show.
23rd, so if the 20, so that would make it on a Tuesday.
Yes.
That's a weird day to have a league, I'm not going to lie.
I think it goes back to when it was just iRacing running this series.
Right.
Or, you know, they had fancy e-NASCAR titles or fancy Coca-Cola sponsorships. Was the two-time winner. All that jazz.
This was the former Peak Antifreeze series, though, wasn't it?
Yep.
I thought so.
Yeah. It had been going a couple of years before the Peak sponsorship, from what I remember.
Yeah. So here's the thing that kind of makes me wonder, because there's two official NASCAR-sanctioned series. You got this one and the one that's on Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would be considered better?
Depends on who you ask.
So you asked me, they need to do a real NASCAR All-Star Series.
I mean, aren't they kind of doing that?
I mean, like an All-Star race to where basically it takes the top six from each one of the championships, and then they do basically two races that are cross-platform.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, just an idea.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how that would work, though, because they're so different.
They're so different. That's why I was saying it would be interesting to see who would really come out on top. Something tells me that the guys who are on iRacing would definitely come out on top, but so it'd be a fun thing to watch and see.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Make the top guys run on controllers.
Yeah, there you go.
Make the iRacing guys, I should say, run on controllers. Make them run on
controllers, and then whenever you get over to the other side, make the guys who are... they're all probably on wheels anyway. Actually, everybody's probably on wheels altogether if you're at that point.
Yeah, but the physics are completely different.
Yeah, they are. Would take some getting used to.
Yeah, most definitely. All right. So, I was actually wrong earlier, and I realized this when I made our run-up show, that I actually left a couple of things that we didn't discuss earlier in the show at the bottom of the list under all of the esports roundup stuff. So, Lewis, want to talk about the R-Factor 2 stuff?
Yeah, we can get into a little bit of that. Let's see what we got going in here. Let's open up the workshop, because it's been a long time. I'm not going to go over everything here, because that is quite a bit of stuff since the last time we went over it, which was all the way back in November. So, let's see. So we were left off with the Jannetta. I don't know if I've been mentioned on one of the previous shows, but R-Factor 2 has updated their Formula E content, to where a couple of the tracks have been updated to have the attack zone put in there, and also the 2021 cars are available as well. So that's a fun one going there. Let's see. The Hermanos Rodriguez circuit has been put onto the Steam Workshop. Alpine Series R-Factor 2 build 1.0. This is from IndyRacers, actually. So anybody who's been familiar with their mods, with their massive endurance racing one, they have finally come out with a little bit of spec racing there. They have the GT4 spec and what I would call a GT5 spec, also known as Cup. So they have that going for them over there on the Steam. Let's see what else we got. Brands Hatch Circuit, that's another update going there. I'm not too sure what that is. Motorsport Center Finn, I've never heard of the place. I'm guessing it's a kart track because it looks very tiny. So anybody who has Kart Sim on there, they are more than welcome to go check that out. And we'll go back to page one here. We got a couple of 2013 Super GT cars. So this is the Lexus SC430 GT500 and the Honda HSV10 GT500 car. So that goes along with Studio 397's Nissan GTR that they have of the same year. So these are obviously supposed to go on and continue on with the depth of field there. Now, if you want to drive the 2020 F1 cars, but don't feel like buying the F1 2020 game because you like R-Factor, there is a 2020 R-Factor 2 F1 mod now. So all the cars from that particular season, you can go ahead and get it, and you can play on offline mode, which basically makes it true to life. I mean, if you absolutely want to, you can have an F1 race around Daytona. Speaking of Daytona, that has actually been updated, and that is also on the Steam Workshop as well. And see what else we got. What's of note? Ferrari 355 Challenge mod. That one is a fun one, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
You got about 30 different liveries you could choose from of the period. The only thing that aggravates me is whenever you go to select them, it says car number one, and you're looking at number 107 or something like that. So the numbers don't match up there. That's a little aggravating. And let's see what else we got. Yas Marina Circuit. That just actually came out in the last week or so. Actually, within the last couple of days, because I just got it. Yeah. And that's pretty much all the major notable ones.
Yeah. How have you been liking the new UI that they updated? I think it was literally this week, wasn't it?
Uh, I To be honest with you, I've never been a fan of the new UI because there's really not as much as you can do with it with the old one. So to be honest with you, I always use the original one.
Okay.
That's just my personal preference. I know eventually I'm going to have to switch over, but it's just what I like, and I know what I can do with it on that one. Yeah, next and time for me, it's just easier to navigate.
Yeah, next time I get on the game, I'm going to start switching to the new one just because I don't know why I find the old one a bit clunky, if that makes sense.
See, and I'm just the opposite. I think it's just because I happen to got to know the old one in and out, and I find the new one to be rather clunky and have to wait for certain screens to load, but to each their own. I know eventually I'm going to have to switch over, but not going to until I have to.
Yes. And honestly, with our Factor 2, I've just been having too much fun with the new C8R to really do anything else on that game.
You haven't driven the Cadillac yet?
That was my next car to drive in that game, but you know, I'm bouncing between Forza and ACC and AC and iRacing and
gotcha.
It's like the Cadillac's five racing games right now.
Yeah, the Cadillac's good fun. My favorite car to drive at the moment, actually, because it is a little bit tail happy, so it gets a little rewarding whenever you get it right, is the Ligier that's on there.
Okay.
So I thoroughly enjoy that car a lot right now.
Yeah. All right, last 10 minutes of the show here. We haven't done a kind of a rim discussion on the show for a little bit, so this was kind of a special occasion. So Thrustmaster, I'm sure our listeners are familiar with Thrustmaster. I pretty much use all Thrustmaster products. I know Jordan uses pretty much all Thrustmaster products. I think you do.
Yep.
Well, Lewis, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just
I got it for Flight Simulator, and I also got the pedals, steering wheel.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not
Thrustmaster, it's my computer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just Matt that likes to poke at us and say, "Haha, I have Fanatic stuff." But
yeah, well, he's also the one that's a. You know what? I'm not going to make a financial joke.
Yeah.
That's,
anyway, Thrustmaster. Actually showed off a new teaser video revealing some more of the information about their upcoming new Formula Real Rim.
Teaser video now?
Hmm?
They have a teaser video now?
They have a teaser video now. Oh yeah, they just released it this week. Actually, I think it was Tuesday.
You promptly shared the link. Wait, look at you looking out for me.
Yeah. It's something like I haven't
okay.
Anyway,
let's see what
so
hang on, I'm watching this.
Okay, well, he watches that. So we knew back in last December, and I think we kind of mentioned it on the show,
ooh,
that they had a picture teasing it, but we actually have a video now. So
I'm getting that.
So we do know now that
that's a live working screen. Oh my goodness!
That the wheel does have a large. I can't talk anymore. It does have a large LCD screen in the middle of it with an LED rev counter to match.
I bet that costs cubic money, but I don't care.
Probably. Also, the screen content seems to be revealed that it's an F1-derived wheel theme, so which means it's going to be plastered with Ferrari logos, I'm sure.
It looks like it's actually made of real carbon, too, and it's not that faux carbon stuff.
Yeah.
Based off what I've seen on the video,
yeah,
that's going to be an expensive wheel.
Yeah, you can see that there's DRS and ERS readouts on the wheel itself. There's many switches and toggles and buttons
that you can get
with the Thrustmaster wheel that I'm looking at that and thinking, you know, I can use all of those just because I'm finding that the more I'm getting into like iRacing and ACC, it's like I need one more button to be able to control something or one.
So that's why, for me personally, I've been using the F1 or the Ferrari F1 wheel, which is actually this is coming out perfectly because this wheel's actually starting to get massive blisters where it's actually starting to separate itself from the plastic that's underneath. Notice I said plastic. It's been a great wheel, but it's finally starting to wear out, unfortunately. But Yeah, I got a bunch of switches and knobs on there, and everybody complained about how many different buttons or switches on there that don't actually work. Well, at the same time, everybody always goes with the most simplistic wheel there is and not enough buttons. You know, it's like, I got more buttons and knobs that work on mine than you do, and you're complaining about five of them that don't work on mine.
The only thing that I'm really concerned about personally is this going to be compatible with their older wheelbases?
Yeah, I hope it is. I really do.
Yeah,
because I really do not want to buy a new servo.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with my TX. I got it for the low price of free as a kit.
Oh yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So it's like, if I want all the fancy rim stuff, am I going to have to upgrade? I mean, I will eventually upgrade, but I don't want to upgrade right now.
Yeah, this servo actually for me is not all that old, so I really don't want to have to upgrade until I have to. Yeah. Meaning whenever this one craps out.
Yeah.
Like my last one did.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure the last one I got actually was used and not brand new. This one's brand new, and it, or was brand new whenever I got it. And
yeah. Do you have a TX bases like I do, or?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe you, Jordan, and I had literally the exact same setup. The only thing I think is different is perhaps a particular set of pedals that we use, and maybe Jordan, the particular wheel attachment.
Jordan's on an updated servo. He's on the, the PC Racer.
Gotcha.
So his servo's much newer than ours, and I'm on the CLN pedals.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, are you still on PCBAs?
What was that?
Oh, what pedals are you on still?
Whatever ones came with it, actually.
Okay. So
I'm just the little two pedal ones. I don't really have a lot of space for the three pedal clutch or anything like that. I would like to upgrade those, but just don't have the space right now.
Yeah, I'm the only one who has the really nice pedals, which, if you're looking for pedals and you have Thrustmaster stuff, it works pretty good with the console, despite the kind of the limitations if you want to plug it directly to your back. But if you're on PC and you just need a cheaper load cell than what you could probably get at Bennett Tech, that works really well, that's your best option, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I mean, a lot of people always say they want more when it comes to pedals and wheels and stuff like that. For me personally, I do tend to be a little bit more simplistic with my stuff, and I have not been disappointed with just the two pedal setup that I have.
Yeah. The only thing I really am wanting for right now is the actual rig.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I do any major upgrade, it's going to be a full-blown rig.
Yeah, because
which probably is not going to happen until I change living space, to be honest.
Same, because I have it on that stand. But lately it's been, I got to pull the wheel over here and completely tear my desk apart so I can race.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to where I can just leave my wheel attached and I don't have to worry about taking anything apart or anything like that, so fortunate on that aspect.
Yeah. This is the one downside of working from home. But anyway, I digress.
By the way, Ben, you got something really exciting going on in your background there. Is somebody basket weaving in the background there or something?
What do you mean basket weaving?
It sounds like somebody's basket weaving.
I don't think so.
This is very noisy all of a sudden. That's just the first thing that popped in my head, actually, was basket weaving.
Okay. Well, perfectly see what that's about. We are pretty much out of time for tonight's show anyway. So, any final thoughts, Lewis?
Eat more tacos.
There it is. From all of us here at the Simcast US version, have a good week. Remember to be safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, and bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.